A simple hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we are still continuing the chapter of making mujahada against the nafs. The nafs draws a person towards temptations, evils, and a person has to oppose his nafs. And he has to make an effort in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against his temptations to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned that if you picture Jahannam, and around Jahannam, there are different types of desires that a person has, evil desires. The moment the person perpetrates any one of these evil desires, then he is tearing open that barrier, that curtain, that veil that is between him and Jahannam, and he is plunging into Jahannam. For example, the person may be tempted towards zina, or towards taking drugs, or towards drinking alcohol. So these are all things that a person, or there are desires that are around Jahannam. The moment a person indulges any of these things, then obviously he is tearing open that veil between him and Jahannam, and he's going into Jahannam. And similarly, Jannat has been prepared, it has been created, and around Jannat there are difficulties. For example, waking up early in the morning for Fajr Salah, especially in those places where it's extremely cold, to make your wudu in cold water, for example, where there's no warm water. A person may have to travel a little bit, a few miles or a few k's to reach the masjid. So these are all difficulties. But when a person does these difficulties, then he's opening that curtain that is between him and paradise, and then he goes into Jannat. So in other words, there are two things mentioned in this hadith. One is a person has to oppose the difficulties and the hardships. He has to go through all those things to gain entry into paradise. And the other one, he has to stay away and refrain from all those evil desires that will make him go into Jahannam. The next two hadiths, also in the similar vein, show us the effort that Rasulullah made. Remember the hadith we did, that he performed lengthy sujood to such an extent that his feet would become swollen and cracked. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha inquired of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you exerting yourself to this level? All your sins have been forgiven, you are ma'asum, you are sinless. He said, that should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah has provided and given me so many blessings, should I not show my appreciation and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Rasulullah s.a.w. being the greatest of all the Anbiya alayhi s-salatu wasalam, the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite his high rank, he still underwent these difficulties to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. In this next hadith, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, says that he read salatul Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a nafil salah one night. نبي عبد الله حذيفة بن اليمان رضي الله عنهما قال صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة. So one night he's performing salat, nafil salat with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فافتتح البقرة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, after reciting Surah Fatiha, he commented Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه, Surah Baqara. Rasulullah is reading continuously. فقلت, so حذيفة رضي الله عنه says to himself in his mind, يَرْكِعُ عِنْدَ الْمِئَةِ, perhaps Rasulullah s.a.w. after 100 verses, he'll make ruku. ثُمَّ مَضَى, but Rasulullah proceeded, carried on. فَقُلْتُ يُصَلِّي بِهَا فِي رَكْعَةٍ, then perhaps he might finish it in one ruku, in one rakat. فَمَضَى, he continued. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعُ بِهَا, maybe now he'll make ruku. ثُمَّ افْتَتَحَ النِّسَاءَ فَقَرَأَهَا, then he started Surah Nisa. He read the whole Surah Baqarah, which is approximately 2.5 paras. Then he started Surah Nisa. ثم افتتح آل إمران فقرأها. Then he started آل إمران. Some commentators mentioned that this is a waham of the narrator. The sequence, Rasulullah read Surah Baqarah first, then Surah Ali Imran, and Surah Nisa as it is mentioned in the Quran. Whatever the situation was, Rasulullah read these long, long surahs. Surah Baqarah, Surah Nisa, Ali Imran. يَقْرَأُ مُتَرَسِّرًا, and not in a fast speed like how we experience in Taraweeh Salah. He read slowly. In other words, pausing in every verse. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةٍ فِيهَا تَسْبِيحٌ سَبَّحَ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِسُؤَالٍ سَأَلَ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِتَعَوُّذٍ تَعَوَّذَ. Some verses where Allah subhanahu, where there's glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah glorified Allah. Where there was a verse begging from Allah, he begged from Allah. Where there was a verse seeking refuge from Jahannam, he sought refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Jahannam. Thumma raka'a, after reading these three long surahs, then he went into ruku. فَجَعَلَ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ. Then Rasul continuously read Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim in his ruku. فَكَانَ رُكُوعُهُ نَحْوًا مِّن قِيَامِهِ. The duration of his ruku was almost like the duration of his standing up. Now can you imagine what a long ruku that must have been? ثُمَّ قَالَ. Then he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. He rose from ruku. رَبَّنَا لَكَ الْحَمْدُ. Praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has heard the one who has praised him, and all praise belongs to Allah. ثُمَّ قَامَ طَوِيلًا قَرِيبًا مِمَّا رَكَعَ. He stood in that position as almost as long as the duration of his ruku. ثُمَّ سَجَدَ. Then he went to prostration, to sajda. فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high. فَكَانَ سُجُودُهُ قَرِيبًا مِنْ قِيَامِهِ. And his sajda was as long as his standing position. So again we see that how Rasulullah s.a.w. made an effort, such a long salat. And this is nafil salah, of course. A person is performing salah, if he is the imam, then he should not do read in such a long manner and cause a burden to the musallis, to the muqtadis. This is a person in his individual capacity, in his own, in his privacy. And this is what we should try and each time try and better and rectify our salat and perfect our salah by reading long, long rukus, long, long sajdas, long, long qiraat. So in this we understand the tasbih Rasulullah read, the sajda he read, the long surahs he read, because he was completely devoted and there was khushu and khudu in his salat. And the next hadith is a very small incident of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, where he says, an ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu qala, sallaytu ma'an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laylatan, I performed tahajjud salat once with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night. Fa'atala al-qiyam, Rasulullah led a very lengthy qiyam. He read a long, long, long rakat. حتى هممت بأمر سوء وحتى هممت بأمر سوء. I intended an evil thing. قيل وما هممت به. Somebody asked Abdullah bin Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, what evil thought came to you? He says, قال هممت أن أجلس وأدعه. I thought that let me just sit down now, I cannot continue so long, and let me leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not do so. He continued reading the salat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point here, Allama Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi is explaining this hadith, that look at the lengthy salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how he strove towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he perfected his salah, how engrossed he was in his salah. And inshallah, we too also, of course, we cannot read such long surahs and such long rakats, but we can improve the duration of our qiraat, for example. In our nafil, perhaps we're just reading wal asri, or inna atina, we are taking the short surahs. Now let us increase that, read a little bit longer surah. In our tasbih, normally we're talking about nafil salat, perhaps just three times reading Subhana Rabbi Razim, read a few more times. When you go into sajda, make those du'as which are maslun sunnah in our sajda. For example, in our nafil, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an nar. There are many maslun du'as a person could read. Allahumma ghfir li dhunubi kullaha diqqaha wa jillaha awwalaha wa akhiraha wa alaniyataha wa sirra. Begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and for asking Allah ta'ala for our needs. So simple du'a, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Oh Allah, we ask you for good in this world and good in the hereafter. We're asking you to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Oh Allahumma innaka afoon kareemun tuhibbul afwa. These are du'as we should be making in our salat. And inshallah, this is how we will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.